Welcome. Hello. All right. We would like to welcome you here today to celebrate the life and ministry of these men and women that have served in God's kingdom faithfully and now have graduated. Would you bow your head in prayer? Father, we love you. We thank you, God, that each day we find testimony, we find witness of what you can do with a man, a woman, in service in your kingdom. God, as we consider these individuals today that serve faithfully, may we be encouraged. Father God, may we understand and know the commitment that they made, that they followed you faithfully, and now they have received their reward. God, I pray that you would bless each one of us today. Lord, that you would comfort us, and that you would build in each one of us a hope that carries us through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of Savior. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song. In my Savior all the day long.
As we sing this part out this morning, can we stand and give our God praise and honor and glory?
Oh Lord, we honor you, we worship you. Oh Lord, we're hungry for your presence in this place this morning, Lord.
Oh,
you have.
Can you express your praise to him here this morning? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Oh, for the name which is above every name, Father. You've given your son, Jesus, a name that is highly exalted. And we glorify you here this morning. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, for your presence. Lord, I would just ask that the anointing of your Spirit would just continue in this memorial service this morning, and that our hearts would just be enriched being in your holy presence. We ask these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Before you're seated, greet the person that you're going to be sitting next to, and just welcome them. We want to welcome you to Praise Assembly, and again, just a heartfelt gratitude and thanks to everybody here at Praise Assembly for helping to make this council a wonderful council, and I'm just so grateful for each one that have contributed. On a day that we recognize those who have gone before us in the Lord, I come into this room today and my heart is filled with just joy. I became a grandparent again last night at 10:40. So, yeah, God is so good. So little Carson made his debut last night, and I was able to make a quick run down to Colorado Springs and hold him and pray over him. Bless that little guy. But life is just good. Isn't God good to us? Praise the Lord. I wanted to just simply shore up a detail. Last night when I was giving the accolades to Don and Loretta, I mentioned that there were two checks, and I only told you about one of them. And a number of you have been gracious enough to remind me that I only told about one. You remember now, in that financial report I was given when I mentioned that there was $7.32 left in the budget? I'm kidding. Okay, that is not it. Yeah, we decided to be gracious and zero that out, you know. That aside, we had several of the churches made offerings to Don and Loretta, and there was $3,500 that came in through offerings through various churches, and so that check was included with the $11,000 check. So I just wanted to follow up on that. Thank you, guys. Yes. This morning, we'd like to acknowledge the family members of, we only have two Rocky Mountain Ministry Network ministers that went to be with the Lord since a council a year ago. And so with the two that we're recognizing, David Argue and Willard Coleman, we have some family members and friends that are here. So would first like to acknowledge Jackie Argue, that it's a delight to have you here, and we honor you and your late husband. And her friend is Chrissy Kronkle. And so Chrissy, we welcome you here today. And then Jackie's son, Brad Argue, is here. And so Brad, welcome. And then Sherry and Dave Miller, ministers within the Rocky Mountain Ministry Network, but out of Christ Place Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, they served together on staff. So we thank you for being here as well. And then with Willard Coleman, we have Willard's son, Quentin. And I had the privilege of being his pastor for several years. And so, Quentin, God bless you. It's a delight to have you here. And then with them, some of our ministers, but close friends of the family, Daryl and Vicki Prophet. What did I say? He's your son-in-law. Oh, okay. Well, very good. Well, blessings on you. We're told in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. And what a wonderful passage of scripture for us, you know, even just to reflect just for a few moments on right here. My father went to be with the Lord this past September, and he was an ordained minister. And so in the Southern Cal Network, in their memorial service, my dad will be acknowledged coming up with that. But with that in mind, you know, it's like I've just been thinking so much about just the absence of someone who's just so close and so dear. And one of the comments that was made at my dad's memorial service that just really stuck with me was when a gentleman stood up and read this passage of scripture, Psalm 116 in verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his faithful servants. And the point that he made was that it is costly to the Lord when one of his faithful servants passes. It's costly. It's costly to the kingdom when Jesus determines it's time to call this individual home. One of the commentaries, a handbook on the book of Psalms, says it costs the Lord a lot to see those who love him die. And I believe that. God is always looking for someone that he can trust, someone whose mind is set on him. And with that in mind, I want us to acknowledge these two wonderful ministers of ours that went to be with the Lord. And the first is that of David Argue, born February 20th, 1946, passed away on February 19th, 2019. David was born in Pocatello, Idaho, and was the second child of Canadian parents. After his birth, they returned to Canada, where he spent most of his first 25 years of life. David moved to Springfield, Missouri, to attend Central Bible College, where he was trained for pastoral ministry. David led college students as the Jesus movement was rapidly spreading at various campuses. After 3 years, David and his late wife, Rogene, pioneered Christ's Place Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. During his time in Nebraska, David served as a key architect of Chi Alpha Campus Ministry and as a Nebraska District Councilman and North Central University Regent, and then later an Executive Presbyter for the Assemblies of God. David lost his wife of 24 years to cancer and was elated when God provided another partner for him while leading a group to Israel, and that's Jackie. David and Jackie married, and their families were joined. David was given multiple opportunities to speak at camps and conferences and publish articles. He traveled multiple places and served as interim pastor in various churches across Colorado, Nebraska, and Utah. During his years as pastor, David developed a color coding system for personal Bible study. He was passionate about teaching the Word and having others develop meaningful habits in their personal devotions. But the most important thing David would want us to know is that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so today we honor David Argue. Next, we have Willard Coleman, born October 13, 1946, passed away April 2nd, 2019. Willard was born on a dry dirt farm owned by his family outside of Monticello, Utah. By the age of three, he had been burned from a house fire, buried alive by the family plow, and drug off by a wolf. I think God had a plan for his life. He grew up in Grand Junction, attended First Assembly of God, which is now Victory Life Church, and graduated from Grand Junction High School and then from Mesa College. In 1967, Willard graduated from Bethany Bible College and went on to pastor the Assemblies of God Church in Klamath, California. In 1976, Willard and his wife Betty planted Assembly of God Church in Richfield, Utah, where they served faithfully for 36 years. Pardon me. On Thursday, August 4th, 2011, the General Council in session acknowledged the church planting efforts of Willard Coleman, and the General Council minutes record the following statement. Special recognition was given to Willard E. and Betty Coleman, who have given their lives and who have labored for 20 years in a very difficult and hard area of the country to plant a church, Richfield, Utah. After 20 years of very little visible results, the harvest is beginning to come in. They were recognized with the Willard E. Coleman Award for Church Planters. They were given a standing ovation by the crowd. Then in 1969, Willard was licensed with the Northern Cal Nevada District and then was ordained in 1973, where C.M. Ward prayed over his ordination. We are eternally grateful for pioneers like Willard and Betty Coleman, who remained faithful to God's call in a challenging location. We're also thankful today that our AG Church in Richfield remains strong under the leadership of Pastor Homer and Sandy Purdy. He will be missed tremendously, but his legacy will live on with his wife of 51 years, Betty Kenyon Coleman, their four children, 11 grandchildren, and one great-grandson. Willard finished well, and his memory will live on. So this morning, I'd like to take just a few moments before we conclude with Holy Communion. And when we conclude with Holy Communion in just a few minutes, our presbyters will be serving all of us. But I want to take just a couple minutes and just talk about daily deposits, of making investments into the lives of people that we're entrusted to care for, and making deposits into our personal lives. It is very important for us to feed our mind. And so for these next few minutes, I want to just kind of talk about some of the scriptures that talk to us about engaging our mind in this process of developing our relationship with Jesus Christ. When I think about making daily deposits, I think about how as pastors, we're called to just to love people, to be generous, to show a spirit of kindness, a spirit of compassion. Those don't always just come naturally. I mean, sometimes there are some challenging people that we have to work with. But as we are making these daily deposits into the lives of people that God has entrusted under our care, it's important that we don't neglect our personal self. That in order to make daily deposits in the lives of others, we have to be investing in ourselves and in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul told the Romans in chapter 12, verse 2, said, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." J.P. Moreland, who is an American philosopher, a theologian, and a Christian apologist, writes that we are to develop our minds as Christians is not in doubt. We are admonished to love God with our mind, Matthew 22, 37, and to be transformed by its renewal, Romans 12, 2, which I just read, and be prepared to give thoughtful answers to questions about the faith, 1 Peter 3, 15. And so in those passages, it once again just helps us to just understand having a mindset that is indeed set on things of the Lord. And developing our minds is a process that really requires a deliberative skill, an effort on each one of our parts, because what I've learned in the 11 years that I had the privilege of serving in that role of lead pastor is that the title pastor does not mean that your mind is always set where your mind is supposed to be set. There's no position that's going to set a course for your mind. And so for us to be able to have our mind set on the things of the Lord, Satan provides so many distractions, and he's relentless. When I think about tools in my garage, my best tools are my craftsman tools, because those are lifetime replacement. You know, they break, you just take it down, no questions asked, they replace it. It's nice to have good tools. Satan has some very effective tools. And when he reaches into the craftsman bag, Satan knows that with you and I, all he's got to do, he knows that he's not going to defeat us. I honestly think that he knows that we are sealed and covered under the Lord's blessing and anointing. But that does not stop him from putting distractions in front of us. And the best way to overcome those distractions is to have a mind that is continually set on Jesus Christ. The psalmist told us in chapter 16 and verse 8, said, "I have set the Lord continually before me." And then later in Psalm 63 and verse 6, "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night." And then Psalm 119, verse 55 says, "I meditate on your name all night, God, treasuring your revelation, O God." So when I come back to Romans 12, 2, and look at how J.B. Phillips translates this verse of Scripture, it says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold." And that's a constant. The world is constantly trying to squeeze us to conform, to just conform to the ways of this world. And what I am so grateful for is that we don't have to conform to the ways of this world. Paul challenged the Roman Christians who, boy, they had a rough go in their faith. The Romans were really persecuted in their walk with Jesus Christ. But Paul challenged them, don't be conformed to the pressure and the ways of this world, because any action that we take that displeases or dishonors God is conformity to this world, and we're not to conform. But before Paul instructed the Romans, when he said, don't conform to the ways of this world, he built a thought that he had established in chapter 8 when he made these words. He says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So how does one not conform to the ways of this world? Well, we go to this text of Romans 12:2, and notice that this sentence has a comma. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, comma, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Complete Biblical Library makes this statement. It says, the mind is the battlefield where most of Satan's attacks come. The outcome of the battle depends on whether we yield our minds to the flesh or to the Spirit. So an accurate translation here of Romans 12:2 would be to keep on being transformed. It's a process. It's not something that once we're transformed, that we live in that transformation, but we are daily transforming our lives, allowing this process on a daily basis, and to take those defeats. We all have our list of defeats where Satan has just, he's gotten the better of us. We've given in. We've conformed to the ways of the world. But to know that we have this hope, and we follow the ways of Jesus Christ. I love the words in James chapter 1, verse 22 that says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. This is how we make daily deposits, is we do what the word says. And as we are living this life of obedience to the Lord, then we're making those deposits into our personal lives, which allows us to make an investment into the lives of others. Well, James presents this concept of listen and obey. But this would be the simple mantra of the spiritual discipline of meditation. That's what the spiritual discipline of meditation is, to listen and to obey. I think about how Moses, as he had the children of Israel right up prepared to enter into the promised land, and he makes this comment in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. He says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. In other words, just make this second nature. Make this a way of life so that we develop our minds so that we're thinking about the precepts of God. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, makes this comment. He says, Christian meditation, very simply, is the ability to hear God's voice and obey His word. It's that simple. I wish I could make it more complicated for those that like things difficult. It involves no hidden mysteries, no secret mantras, no mental gymnastics, no esoteric flights into the cosmic consciousness. The truth of the matter is that the great God of the universe, the creator of all things, desires our fellowship. When I think about just fellowship with the Lord, there are times that, with the distractions of the day and the busyness of the work at hand, that we just get caught up in the work. It's one of the reasons that I so much enjoy yard work. I love just the time when it's time to go cut the grass. And I put a lot of fertilizer on my grass so that it grows, and I have to keep going out there. Because that's one of my things. It's like when I fire that lawnmower up, it's like I'm in happy mode. And I just like to put my mind on the things of the Lord. Think about As I'm out there, it's mindless work, cutting the grass. Good night, you know. You don't have to think about what you're doing. You just go out there and do it, and you see the need, and, well, that's all. You just see the need. And so it allows that opportunity then to just think on and reflect on the goodness of the Lord. And so today, I just want to leave us with this thought, with these ministers that have gone before us. They've paved the way. These were men that served God with whole hearts. And I pray that could be said of each one of us, that we could serve God with a whole heart and mind. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you allow us to just engage these minds on things that you have done for us. And Lord, I think of the old song or chorus that just I learned as a child that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Lord, you've done so much good for each one of us. Help us to be just more mindful in the days, weeks coming, to just have our minds totally set on you and on your precepts. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to ask our presbyters if they would come and join me on the platform or on the sides over here. You guys know where you're going, and the executive presbyters will serve you communion. And I wonder if we can do this. I love the song that we sang, What a Wonderful Name It Is. We're going to come back and sing that again, and can I invite you just to stand with me? I don't think it'd make it too awkward trying to serve communion while you're standing. But if you'll receive the communion, and then we will receive it together in just a moment.
Beginning, one with God the Lord.
Jesus Christ made those daily deposits into the lives of his closest followers, his disciples. And Holy Communion draws us together to the Lord's table to reflect on Christ's daily deposits into our lives, what Christ has done for us. This is something that we must not take for granted. But this is something that every time we have the privilege of holding the bread and the cup, that we just reflect upon his holy goodness, what he has done for us, what he means to us. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, how the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, gave thanks for it, broke it in pieces, saying, "This is my body that is for you. Keep doing this in memory of me." He tells us right there to just engage the mind once again. Remember me. He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink from it, keep doing this in memory of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we say thank you for going to that cruel cross to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and to make us wholly pure before you. And so right now, Lord, we engage our minds. We think about the deposits, those daily deposits you've made into each one of our lives. And we bless you. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Glory unto you. Glory. Praise you, Jesus. Don, I'm going to ask you to come on up and put a conclusion on this, please.
Received the cup as well as the bread. Amen. Praise God. Father, our hearts are full this morning in the realization of your presence with us in this moment and in every moment of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for those dear friends and ministers who have departed from our presence but remain in your presence and are with you today, experiencing the wonder of your glory. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray for your comfort and strength to rest upon each of these family members who are present with us today and those who could not be here. Lord, may they be encouraged and strengthened in their faith and in their knowledge that their departed loved ones are with you today and we shall see them again in eternity. We thank you and we bless you, Lord, for this marvelous, marvelous hope that you have placed within our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray now, Lord, that you would continue to minister and work within our lives as we make our way through the rest of this day together, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, folks. Please receive our love. and our condolences today. Well, friends, in just about 10 minutes from now, we're going to have our first plenary leadership summit workshop right here in this room. And we want to give you a few moments to greet these family members if you would like that opportunity and to make adjustment. And we will reconvene in 10 minutes at 10 o'clock in this room for our first workshop. God bless you.
The key.